Just one second. Vratai tva Rishikeshwaram svataha hi aradhya loke patim ashasate anyam tasam na te vai paripanti apatyam priyam dhana ayongshi yattaha asvatantraha. Striyo vrataistva Rishikeshwaram svato Yadadya loke patim asha sati anyam tasam na te vai paripatya patyam priyam dhanayum shiyato svatantraha. Striyo rataistva Rishikeshwaram svato yadadya loke patim ashasati anyam tasam na te vai paripantya patyam priyam dhanayum shiyato svatantraha. Ladies, Sriyurataistva Rishikeshwaram svato Yadadya loke patim ashasati anyam Samiti vaitarim pantya patyam Yamdana yum shiyato svatantra Striyaha. All women, Vratai, by observing fasting and other vows. Tva, you, Rishikeshwaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Master of the senses, Svataha, of your own accord, He, certainly, Aradhya, worshipping, Loke, in the world, Patim, a husband, Ashasate, ask for anyam, another, tasam, of all those women, na, nut, te, the husbands, vai, indeed, paripanti, able to protect, apatyam, the children, priyam, very dear, dhana, the wealth, ayunshi, or the duration of life, yattaha, because, asvatantraha, dependent. Translation: my dear Lord, you are certainly the full independent master of all the senses. Therefore, all women who worship you by strictly observing vows, because they wish to acquire a husband to satisfy their senses, are surely under illusion. They do not know that such a husband cannot actually give protection to them or their children, nor can he protect their wealth or duration of life, for he himself is dependent on time, fruitive results, and the modes of nature, which are all subordinate to you. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we have about 2 pages of purport. In this verse, Lakshmi Devi Rama shows compassion toward women to worship the Lord for the benediction of possessing a good husband. Although such women desire to be happy with children, wealth, a long duration of life, and everything dear to them, they cannot possibly do so. In the material world, a so-called husband is dependent on the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many examples of a woman whose husband, being dependent on the result of his own fruitive actions, cannot maintain his wife, her children, her wealth, or her duration of life. Therefore, factually, the only real husband of all women is Krishna, the Supreme Husband. Because the gopis were liberated souls, they understood this fact. Therefore, they rejected their material husbands and accepted Krishna as their real husband. Krishna is the real husband not only of the gopis but of every living entity. Everyone should perfectly understand that Krishna is the real husband of all living entities, who are described in the Bhagavad Gita as Prakriti, female, not Purusha, male. In Bhagavad Gita 10.12, only Krishna is addressed as Purusha. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adidevam Ajam Vibhum. You are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode and purifier, the absolute truth and the eternal divine person. You are the primal God, transcendental and original, and you are the unborn and all-pervading beauty. Krishna is the original Purusha, and the living entities are Prakriti. Thus, Krishna is the enjoyer, and all living entities are meant to be enjoyed by him. Therefore, any woman who seeks a material husband for her protection, or any man who desires to become the husband of a woman, is under illusion. To become a husband means to maintain a wife and children nicely by supplying wealth and security. However, a material husband cannot possibly do this, for he is dependent on his karma, kamana daiva nitrina. His circumstances are determined by his past fruitive activities. Therefore, if one proudly thinks he can protect his wife, he is under illusion. Krishna is the only husband, and therefore the relationship between a husband and wife in this material world cannot be absolute. Because we have the desire to marry, Krishna mercifully allows the so-called husband to possess a wife, and the wife to possess the so-called husband for mutual satisfaction. In the Ishupanishad it is said, Tena Chaktena Bhunjita. The Lord provides everyone with his quota. Actually, however, every living entity is prakriti or female, and Krishna is the only husband. Ekali Ishvara Krishna Arashapa Britya Yare Jai Cheni Chai Setai Che Kore Nritya Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 5.142. Krishna is the original master or husband of everyone, and all other living entities, having taken the form of so-called husbands or wives, are dancing according to his desire. A so-called husband may unite with his wife for sense gratification, but his senses are conducted by Rishikesha, the master of the senses, who is therefore the actual husband. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sriyo vratayistva rishikeshwaram svato yaradya lokipatim ashasati anyam tasam nati vai paripantya padyam priyam dhanayumshi yato svatantraha. One more time the translation. My dear Lord, you are certainly the fully independent master of all the senses. Therefore, all women who worship you by strictly observing vows, because they wish to acquire a husband to satisfy their senses, are surely under illusion. They do not know that such a husband cannot actually give protection to them or their children, nor can he protect their wealth or duration of life, for he himself is dependent on time, fruitive results, and the modes of nature, which are all subordinate to you. Nama Om Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pashadyadesha Tarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shri Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. First of all, I would like to express my great appreciation and humble respects to the organizers of the beautiful boat festival which they conduct every year. It's such a beautiful arrangement. It's completely out of this world. After all, we are in Vrindavan. Very, very beautiful. So thank you very much for that wonderful service. So the sense of the verse, or these sequence of verses spoken by Lakshmi Devi, is that it doesn't matter how powerful or competent a husband in this material world might be, he factually cannot give independently from Krishna. any protection or security to their wives or children. Because as Lakshmi Devi explains in the purport, they are themselves dependent on the kala, karma and guna. Time on the fruitive results of their activities and the modes of material nature. They're completely dependent on material nature, which is under the supervision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mayatakshina prakriti suati chacharacharam. So that's the factual position of any husband in this material world. Now we have the example of Gajendra, a beautiful story in Srimad Bhagavatam. He was such a powerful elephant, king of the elephants, residing on the heavenly planets. He also had beautiful wives, children, but we know the story. He was caught by the leg by a very, very powerful crocodile. And seeing their husband in this condition, all the wives began to cry. Other elephants, they tried to help him, grabbing him from behind, and they tried to pull him out of the water. But the crocodile was too strong. And from this particular story, we can learn so many lessons. Srila Prabhupada also makes the point that that shows that a devotee has to be fighting against Maya, the illusory energy of the Lord, material nature. He has to place himself in a secure, comfortable, for him, comfortable position. Otherwise he will not be successful. Because crocodile, being a creature of the water, naturally, eventually, is more powerful. Because crocodile is in its own element, water. Elephant, this is not his element. Another example I remember, Srila Prabhupada gave, how do you call these small animals? Crabs, I think, crabs. They always go toward crabs, they take shelter in the ocean. So now, if you imagine a crab, such a small animal, with tender legs, very light, but somehow it takes shelter in the ocean, no problem in the ocean. And yet a strong elephant, powerful elephant, if he enters the ocean a little bit too far, he's just being swept away. Even if he manages to swim, you know, how long can an elephant swim? He will drown at one point. It's a very practical example. Because if the devotee takes shelter in the ocean of Krishna consciousness, Krishna's lotus feet, then he is secure. He's in a safe position. But taking shelter in the material energy, the living entity cannot be safe. It is impossible, because material nature is so powerful, so strong. As we have seen in history, even the greatest, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, so many powerful leaders, politicians, where are they now? All being crushed down by the waves of material nature. So that lesson we can learn from the story of Gajendra. For 1,000 years he was fighting with that crocodile. 1,000 years struggling. And even the demigods, it is described, they were just amazed seeing that, you know, battle. And of course, crocodile, being in the water, became gradually stronger, no problem. But elephant, he didn't have anything to eat for such a long time on heavenly planets. So Gajendra grew weaker and weaker. his sensual power, his mental power, physical power, everything diminished steadily. And then what did Gajendra do? Any suggestions? What did he do? What was the solution? He picked up a lotus flower with his trunk, lifted it up in the air, and prayed to Govinda, prayed to Lord Krishna. Because of his previous life, he could remember mantras and worship of the Lord. And of course, Lord being very merciful, he appeared and liberated both Gajendra and the crocodile. And that is Lord Krishna's nature. He is so merciful. He promised anyone who takes shelter at his Lord, even once crying out sincerely, "Oh Govinda Krishna," he will make sure that such a devotee will never perish. He gives that promise. Krishna is so merciful. So we can take the conclusion from all these verses that for all women and husbands in this material world, the actual shelter are Lord Krishna's lotus feet, who alone, as Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport in Bhagavad Gita, purports as well, that Lord Krishna is the only Purusha and all living entities are Prakriti. They are being meant to be enjoyed and of course protected by the Lord. And that's the actual position of any husband, any woman in this world. And Lakshmi, whenever Lord Vishnu appears in this world, sometimes he takes on the form of a demigod. And Lakshmi as well, she takes on the form of a demigoddess. That's the right word? Demigoddess. And when Vishnu appears in the form of a human being, she also takes on that form of a human being. So now we can imagine when Lord Krishna appears, he is so much more transcendentally beautiful and attractive even than Lord Vishnu himself in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, Master Vaikuntha, even more beautiful, more attractive. And then Lakshmi, when she takes on the form as Rukmini Devi, now we can easily imagine even so much more beautiful and attractive than Lakshmi herself. So when she appeared with the Lord as Rukmini, it is beautifully described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the chapter is entitled Lord Krishna teases Rukmini. So Rukmini, when she prayed to Lord Krishna, she spoke the same similar verses. And I would like to share with you the conversation between Lord Krishna and Rukmini, because it's so many beautiful, wonderful details. And this is what I will do for the rest of the class. I just read the conversation, give a little some comments. And then if you also feel inspired to give comments, just pitch in. You're welcome. First, there's a nice comment by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur related to Rukmini Devi. And he gives the example of a camphor. Rukmini Devi is like fragrant camphor crushed on the grinding stone of Lord Krishna's speech. Beautiful. It's like camphor. If you have raw camphor, there's some smell. But if you take that camphor, you crush it, oh, then the fragrance, the smell comes out strongly. So similarly, Rukmini, she possesses so many wonderful, beautiful qualities. But when Lord Krishna spoke to her in this way, which we will hear, we'll go through this conversation, then her qualities came out very, very strongly. The fragrance of her qualities manifested very strongly. So it is described that the beauty of Queen Rukmini's quarters were extremely beautiful. The entire area and the palace were bathed in the beautiful moonshine. Lord Krishna sat at ease together with Queen Rukmini, while she and her maidservants attended to him in various ways. Rukmini always responded perfectly to Lord Krishna's various moods. On this particular occasion, the Lord looked at Rukmini, whose beauty was faultless, and began to tease her. Now, there's also one point we have to mention. When once Lord Krishna gave Rukmini a flower from the Parijata tree, heavenly Parijata tree, and when Satyabhama saw that, we can imagine, she was furious. And Lord Krishna could not, there was no way to pacify her. The only way he found was to bring an entire Parijata tree down to earth, give it to Satyabhama, and then she was pacified. So Lord Krishna remembered that incident, and he wanted to see a similar quality of transcendental fury, anger in Rukmini also. And this is why he thought, let me speak in this way so that that particular aspect will come out, that anger, fury will come out of her. But Rukmini Devi, she is so wonderful that even though she saw how Lord Krishna gave Satyabhama an entire Parijata tree, she was not furious, she was not angry, just the opposite. And she began to praise the entire occasion. So this, she always speaks to Lord Krishna in a very, very pleasant way. Whatever happens, she's always satisfied. Never complains, never laments. Of course, these are all transcendental pastimes. You could never compare them to mundane pastimes, activities. This we find throughout Srila Prabhupada's purports, especially also in the Krishna book. He always reminds us these are not ordinary activities, these are not ordinary pastimes between young girls and young boys like that. Yes. Then Lord Krishna began to speak. Previously, many wealthy kings, worthy of you in their appearance and character, wanted to marry you. In fact, your father and brother intended to give you in marriage to Shishupal. Why then did you accept such an unsuitable husband as me? Once I renounced my kingdom and fled to the sea in fear of Jarasandha. Besides, I transgress worldly morality, and because I own nothing, I am dear to other paupers. Certainly the well-to-do would not worship one such as me. So we remember that Lord Krishna opposed practically all the contemporary kings in his pastimes. He only befriended the Pandavas and a few loyal members of the Yadu dynasty. Otherwise, he finished everyone. And also giving up, Lord Krishna mentioned that he gave up his throne after killing Kamsa. Lord Krishna was actually entitled to inherit the throne, but instead he humbly gave it over to Ugrasena, and he renounced the throne. So that is also true. When a man and a woman share the same social class, influence, physical beauty, marriage or friendship can flourish between them. But out of a short-sightedness, you have accepted a husband who lacks every good quality and is glorified by beggars. Lord Krishna speaks like this. So that's the fact. Those who are intoxicated with mundane material wealth, they can never appreciate the wealth of a Vaikuntha, the spiritual wealth of Lord Krishna's pastimes. They can never appreciate. Better you had married some prominent warrior. Then you might have been happy in this life and in the next. Your brother Rukmi and kings like Shishupal, they all hate me. And it was only to cut down their pride that I took you away. But as for such things as body, home, wife, children, I'm indifferent to them. I'm transcendental to all material affairs. So Lord Krishna here, he presents himself as possessing no material qualities. That's a fact. He thought he was materially unqualified, because Krishna, he eternally exists in his own transcendental qualities. This is Lord Krishna's position. Then Sri Krishna saw that he had destroyed Queen Rukmini's confidence that she was her husband's favorite, and consequently stopped speaking. She began to cry. It's a very beautiful description in the 10th canto, now how the tears of Rukmini mixed with the black, how do you call this? Black kajal mascara. So that tears, the black tears that dropped down on her chest, which was decorated with a red kumkuma. Beautiful description. And then with her toe nails, she began to draw patterns on the ground. So when Lord Krishna saw the condition of Rukmini, then his heart became so soft. And here again, the Vaishnava acharyas, they remind us these are not ordinary symptoms of an ordinary woman crying. But factually, Rukmini, she experienced sattvika ecstasies from becoming stunned all the way to dissolution. Lord Krishna noticed that she had misunderstood his joking, and thus he felt compassion for her. He picked her up from the floor and consoled her. It's also a very detailed description how Lord Krishna took so nicely care of her in that condition, bringing her back to external consciousness. And he was caring so much for her. He did so many things at the same time. It is described that he even had to manifest his four-handed, manifest two more hands, arms, just to do all these caring activities. I know you're totally attached to me. It was only out of eagerness to see your lotus face adorned with a frown that I teased you. To joke with one's beloved is the highest enjoyment for a householder. Is that true? It must be Lord Krishna states. Lord Krishna's own words. Rukmini's love was so strong that her unique mood predominated in this situation. And thus, instead of becoming angry, she fainted and fell to the ground. Far from displeasing Krishna, however, she increased his transcendental ecstasy by exhibiting her supreme love for him. So these words of Lord Krishna dispelled Rukmini's doubt that she has been rejected by Krishna. Now that we can also learn from a devotee. He should feel in a similar way that the greatest disaster in his life, whatever any could happen, possibly happen to him, is being somehow rejected by Krishna, by Guru, by the Vaishnavas. That's the greatest disaster in the existence of the life of a devotee. How much we should always endeavor to maintain a nice, loving relationship with the devotees, properly respect, worship our own spiritual master, and of course our founder Acharya foremost. We always have to keep Srila Prabhupada in the center of all our activities, all our projects, and that certainly will please Lord Krishna. Otherwise, it's just a disaster. We will invite disasters in our spiritual life. So Rukmini went on to show how everything Krishna had said, defaming, denigrating himself, was actually glorification. And then she spoke a number of beautiful verses which describe Lord Krishna as the only perfect husband, very similar to the verse we read today. Since you are the abode of transcendental qualities, what mortal woman would disregard you and depend instead on someone who is always subject to terrible fear? There's a fact, in a single moment, the material nature is so powerful, in a single moment, even the most powerful man in this world can be crushed into a helpless condition in a moment. We have seen this. It is frightening. Just like now, it's a personal point, but I discovered that when you get older, you have to be careful about high blood pressure. I didn't know this before. I just noticed all of a sudden these headache, migraines, and I was wondering, what is happening? And then someone mentioned, you just check your blood pressure. I did it. My God. So high already in the red zone. Dangerous. High blood pressure goes a little bit too high. Heart stroke, brain stroke, anything can happen in a second. So that's material nature. Single moment. So the Lord, however, as Rukmini points out, he always has an eternally transcendental body, free. And she gave a whole description in this way, glorifying, comparing Lord Krishna's transcendental body with the bodies of material husbands. No comparison, actually. O infallible Krishna, let each of the kings you named become the husband of a woman whose ears have never heard your glories, which are sung in the assemblies of Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. After all, in the households of such women, these kings live like asses, oxen, dogs, cats, and slaves. This is what Lord Krishna wanted to see. Now, gradually the anger comes out. And why is she? This is also explained in the widest comparison, because she compares these so-called great princes to asses because they carry so many material burdens, oxen because they are always distressed while performing their duties, occupational duties, to dogs because their wife often disrespect them. So many different ways. To cats because they are selfish and cruel, and to slaves because they are submissive in family life, in family affairs. So such kings may appear desirable for a foolish woman who never heard about the glories of Lord Krishna. And when she spoke these words, this particular verse, she pointed her index finger to Krishna like this. And Krishna was very, very pleased. He was patiently waiting for that moment. So this is a wonderful discussion between Lord Krishna and Queen Rukmini. And again, we have to remind us these are not ordinary pastimes belonging to this world. However scrupulous persons, they prematurely try to enter into these pastimes by imagining so many things. And we have to be so careful about this. Srila Prabhupada in 1974, right here in Vrindavan, on this Vyasasan, he gave a class, and I quote, Srila Prabhupada says, "So this is my request, that you have come to Vrindavan, try to understand what is Vrindavan Dham, what is Radha Krishna, but very cautiously, very, very carefully. Then Krishna will be pleased. And Krishna himself, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna Chaitanya, he is present here. Go through Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura. So in this way, gradually, you will be able to understand." Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hare Krishna. We have 4 more minutes. Maharaj. I hope I will be able to answer them. If you empower me, then... Throw them in the street. Throw all their husbands in the street. This is how they sometimes feel. we cannot blame them. We cannot blame them. Now, of course, what we take, not to throw the husbands away. The real point is the husbands, they have to become Krishna conscious. They have to be able to represent Krishna, to give that shelter of Krishna in their own Krishna consciousness to their wives. And the wives also, they should not think that's the business of the husbands only to be Krishna conscious. The wives also, they have to become very Krishna conscious. And that's the whole solution. No need to throw away anything. You just have to become fully Krishna conscious. That's the message. Yeah, this could be a wrong conclusion to reject. That's not our philosophy. That's what the Mayavadis do. They reject. They think that's the solution. Reject. Throw it away. Now our philosophy is that we engage everything in Krishna's service. We attach everything to Krishna. Then everything becomes purified. That's our philosophy. And Krishna, he gives protection. Of course, what Krishna can protect anyone in any way he wants. But generally, Krishna protects through the king, through the leaders, through the Vaishnavas. This is how Krishna acts. This is how he works. So as more the leaders of society become Krishna conscious, as more Krishna can give protection through them. And then the subordinates will feel really protected. If someone is, we have practical experience in Srila Prabhupada's presence, is it not? We felt protected. We did anything. You cannot imagine what we did in the early days. We were ready to sacrifice our life for Srila Prabhupada because we felt that protection, fearlessness. Now, if I remember. One more minute. If I remember when, all the way back when I was a brahmachari, I did things I have to think, 100 times over to do it nowadays, again. Amazing. Because we felt that protection coming from Srila Prabhupada, because he truly represented, and we always had that feeling Srila Prabhupada was not alone. Is it not? When you were with Srila Prabhupada, you felt Krishna was present. Not just Prabhupada, and you felt Lord Krishna's presence. This answers you? We have to stop here. I was told to really stop it. We continue tomorrow, another day. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.